This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith is live in studio. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan with an update on last night's city council meeting. I watched some of it online, but it was hard to get the takeaway of what was happening. But you were there. What happened last night?
Oh, I was there. And actually, both sides were there to speak. Basically, what was on the agenda, and it was put on the agenda at the kind of under other business, was to discuss putting out a request for proposal for dredging, which was one of the big decisions by City Council a couple weeks ago, that we would proceed with this so that we can see what kind of market-based approaches will come out of the private sector. I mean, it's a very sort of a really great next step. Their big question was how much control would the city maintain over that process, because they funded most of the study that HDR did. I know people aren't following this. That might be confusing, but the study put in like $300,000 into looking at the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir and what it would take to dredge it.
I have to keep this simple, so bear with me.
Okay.
You have the city that wants to dredge the existing South Fork of the Ravanna, the existing reservoir, to provide water supply.
Exactly.
Which, is, as far as I'm concerned, has always been a no-brainer, and it's like saying, yes, we want to drive on the roads that we built.
Exactly.
Instead of just letting the grass take them over and build a new highway, you know, an elevated, expensive highway over the top of that road. But the county, and really arguably the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority, they don't want to dredge for water supply. They would just say, hey, you can dredge if you want a boat there, but we're going to abandon that as a water supply, and we want to build an all-new big, expensive new reservoir.
Well, worse than that, they want to abandon it altogether. I mean, even as a recreational resource, it hasn't gotten much support for even maintaining it as that. This is a gold mine. I mean, this reservoir is not only a great recreational resource, it's extremely important for the award-winning UVA rowing team, as well as the community, award-winning community rowing team. But besides that, it's like 1.2 billion gallons of water. That's its capacity. That's half of what we're talking about in, you know, building this big new dam.
Do you think most people here in the county that, whether you're ratepayers or you're on a well, I don't care, do you think most people are aware of the fact that the powers that be in the county and the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority and the people that are advocating this major big public works project, the new dam and new pipeline, you think they're aware that part of this plan is abandoning the existing infrastructure?
Abandoning
that reservoir?
I'll tell you, everybody who finds out, who sort of gets that, is just outraged. I mean, why would you throw away what you have, what you've already paid for, what you have already invested in, you've already impacted? Whether or not there should have been a dam there, they're not talking about taking that dam down. It's already impacted. Why would you not restore it before you start spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build new stuff?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about throwing away what we have and building new. And it
blows my mind, and I will say this again. I've said this 100 times. This is clearly not the conservative plan.
It is
not.
And
yet you have supposed conservatives in the county. This is the plan they're advocating, and yet it's the least conservative, most expensive, least fiscally responsible, biggest government plan, and it makes no sense to me.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, the root of conservative is conservation, too, and it's big government, it's a monopoly, it's everything that really the conservatives should rally against, and yet there are very strong conservative voices wanting to do this.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And when some conservatives in the county really find out what's going on, they have a reaction, and I'm going to play this again. They have a reaction that Randolph Byrd had when he called us a couple of weeks ago, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Just to preface this, I'm a free market, conservative, Republican, and pro-control development kind of guy with a master's degree in environmental science with areas of concentration, geology and limnology about water. Watch dredging go on forever and ever. I got to tell you, the Norse plan is spot on. I will personally call my Republican supervisors who I helped get elected and let them know that and say, hey, you need to support this plan. It conserves our natural resources, conserves money. It couldn't be any better. And just by the way, I've watched all kinds of different dredging projects. You don't have to get so high-tech with dredging. Dredging can be a nice low-tech item and doesn't have to be that expensive, and I'll leave it at that.
One of the county's leading Republicans sounding off on this program just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm getting similar emails as conservatives in the county say, wait a minute, I voted for these Republicans on the Board of Supervisors to create a new conservative majority, and yet the policies that we're seeing come out of the board, whether it's the red light camera, which sends $10,000 a month from this community to Australia, or this, you know, advocating a major public works project, a huge big government new infrastructure, and abandoning the existing reservoir.
Exactly. And what Randolph Byrd also, talked about another quite conservative point, which is that the next step here, which is being opposed really vigorously by the pro-dam people, is to let the free market come in and show us what they can do with this resource we have. It is likely and very highly likely to come in much less expensive, much less complicated than what the study that Rivanna ended up controlling told us, which was a really fairly major one-time dredging deal. There are many other options. We know that from industry. And let's let private sector come in and show us what they can do.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, online at sevowater.info. The phone lines are open, as always, at 977-1070. It's about 17 minutes in front of the hour of 5 o'clock, 59 degrees in Charlottesville. And that's where we are at this point. The city wants to put out an RFP, a request for proposal, which is essentially government opening the door to private enterprise and inviting them into the process.
Exactly.
They want to put out an RFP to dredge our existing reservoir to supply water for this community, right?
Right. Well, but it's very important how that RFP is written, because it could be written a very narrow way such that we really wouldn't get new information. But if it's written such that it invites lots of new ideas. And that is what the city really, we've been encouraging the city to be sure that they at least have oversight of that RFP. We wanted them to write it.
Well, why invite private enterprise in if you're telling them, you know, you can come into the process, but you got to keep your hands tied behind your back and you got to wear blindfolds and you can't talk.
Exactly. You know? But the worry is that that is how it will be stopped, you know, that it will be controlled and limited.
Controlled by who? By the advocates of the old plan.
By the advocates of the dam, yeah.
Who don't want to see and don't want to hear from private enterprise what they really could do with dredging to provide water.
Well, we heard this last night. We heard one of the pro-dam speakers, a very vocal pro-dammer, saying, oh, don't put out an RFP. There's no need to, because Gannett Fleming already told you. Now, Gannett Fleming is the firm that came in.
That's how we got into this trouble in the first place.
This is how we get into this mess. And this is what, and Gannett Fleming is why the city went and did its own study, basically.
Gannett Fleming's the one who told us if you want to dredge, it'll cost you what?
$225 million. More, as Hoss Spencer likes to say, more than the Panama Canal.
It's ridiculous. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. We got line open at 977-1070. Chris is on Charlottesville right now. Chris, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, this is kind of a complicated issue, so it's hard to stay on top of it. But if there are a lot of other people who I think have a different point of view, and it may be something that you disagree with, but you can maybe disagree on the same points. And so my question is, I'm assuming that the other side to this would be, yes, you could dredge, but you spend a lot of money to do that. You still don't have enough water, so your money is better spent on a bigger project. Is that the other side of what you disagree with?
It's a great question.
It is a great question, and thank you for asking it. One of the other things we disagree with is how much water we are likely to need in 50 years, and that is when
that's what's driving this whole thing.
That is what's driving it, and is what's driving the opposition to dredging. And in fact, dredging gets you so much. Well, it'll get you a minimum of decades of water, even under their inflated number. And it allows you to phase it. It allows you to spend not, you know, $200 million today for a guess on how much water you're going to need in 50 years. It allows you know, you just sort of keep up with demand.
But, and dredge a little bit at a time.
Right.
Sell the dirt that you're pulling out a little bit at a time. And some have argued that this could actually even pay for itself almost.
If again, that's why we need to put out an RFP to find out what is the market, what is out there. Because that is the paying for itself is an ideal situation, but it's possible that if there's a market for this very good sediment, and we know that from the study, it is agricultural grade sediment as well as sand, and sand is even more valuable.
And there's a bunch of that down there.
There's a bunch of it, yeah.
And this is one place where you do really do want to hear from private enterprise.
Yes.
If ever there was a moment where a pro-free market anti-big government conservative would stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we've elected some of those people and they're sitting on their hands.
Well, that, and it, this is such a great opportunity.
And no, they're not just sitting on their hands, they're fighting this.
They're fighting it. It's
they don't want to hear from private enterprise when it comes to this. They don't want to hear what right. dredgers have in mind and could do and could really save money and preserve our existing infrastructure. They want to just chuck it in the wastebasket.
What's a great opportunity for local business to create a local business? I mean, that's just one scenario, and it is what other communities are doing. It's
they're dredging.
They're handling their own dredging of these small projects, and this is a small project.
Yeah, as far as dredging is concerned, we've got another Chris with us. Chris, thank you. You're on Charlottesville right now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was I've been talking to other talk shows about this subject as well. It seems to me that I think I've even brought it up here that the whole reason that we're talking about this is because of the drought back in 2002. And I was thinking about this. I was saying to myself, if you have a huge reservoir, which I think is what the opponents of dredging really want, they want a big, huge reservoir. And the reason I agree with them is because if you have a huge reservoir of water, you don't have to worry about when the rivers and the streams go dry. It comes back to this idea of drought, which is why we came to this table in the first place. It wasn't about projected water use. It was about a drought and how to prepare the community for it. And if we have a huge reservoir, you don't have to. The water's already in there. When everything dries up, if it does, I hope it never does. I mean, that'd be nice if it doesn't. But if it ever does, you've got this huge reservoir full of water. You don't have to really worry about it going out. Hopefully it'll rain before, the thing goes down. That's my reason why we should just put the wall up as high as you can make it, and then we've got this huge bathtub of water sitting up there waiting in case something bad happens.
Chris, thank you for the call. It's an excellent point, and it does go back to the drought, and it does go back to some really genuine and sincere concern on the part of some very smart people in our community. That's not a conspiracy.
Right.
They're genuinely concerned about the supply of water. And they feel that there's some real lessons to pull out of 2002.
And that's true. And the big question is, how much water is that? And is it $200 million worth of infrastructure to store that much water? And also remember, Chris, that in this plan, they are giving up 1 billion gallons of water by allowing the South Fork to silt in.
By abandoning our existing reservoir.
Right. And so
they're throwing away 1 billion gallons and start going back to zero when you folks are saying, let's start with what we have, take a more conservative, fiscally sensible approach, and start with what we have.
Well, they're also abandoning the Sugar Hollow Reservoir, which is another 350 million gallons, which even, I mean, you've now have about 60% of that water in that big new reservoir that you like, Chris, that we already own. We already have it today, but we're going to cut it off. It doesn't make sense. Here's another big issue. By putting all your eggs in one basket, you have now increased your public safety issue. That big new reservoir at Ragged Mountain is going right under I-64, and it will be the only reservoir you have. Right now we have a redundancy. We have three reservoirs.
A network of reservoirs.
Right. If something happens to one of them, we have two others waiting there. So redundancy is a huge issue. Here's another. Stop me if this is too complicated, but we just had a little mini drought. Did you notice we did not have a drought watch because we had plenty of water?
The rest of the state had drought watches and conservation and,
And that's for two
reasons. We didn't have any of those water terror alerts.
Exactly. Well, because our demand has gone down so much. But If we had had just that one big reservoir and we were drawing on that one, we would and if we were in a drought watch, we would still be in a drought watch because you can only refill it a little bit at a time after a drought. I know this is getting complicated, but that huge new reservoir they want to build at Ragged Mountain has to be filled from the Ravana River 25 million gallons at a time, and it's like 2.5 billion gallons. And you can't go out of drought watch.
You're talking about the way the new reservoir, the one new reservoir, would actually function and work in terms of refilling it.
Right.
I also find it interesting that the county opposed the Western Bypass.
Exactly.
Because they said they didn't want a highway going near their water supply near the South Fork of the Ravana.
Right.
And yet they're totally fine with creating just one reservoir and putting it under Interstate 64.
A federal highway. I know, it's crazy.
Well, it's hypocritical. Yeah. It makes no sense. Right. It makes no sense.
But let's remember, after the rain we just had, and we had a good bit of rain, the South Fork, we were at 63% of the capacity of our water supply today. We were down to that. They were filled within a day or two. And that would
Our existing reservoirs.
Our existing reservoirs. That would never happen with a new great big Ragged Mountain reservoir that has to be pumped in order to be filled.
Let's go back to the phones. Ron is on Charlottesville right now. Ron, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, the question I have is, have you invited Ken Boyd to come in and talk about this conservative viewpoint that you're always harping on? I'd be interested to hear exactly why. I agree with you. I think they ought to be looking at dredging, but, you know, he's not a dummy. He's probably got some reason for feeling the way he does.
Yeah, and I certainly would be the first one to say he's not a dummy at all, and thank you for agreeing with me. We've had Liz Palmer on a number of times, who's one of the central leading advocates of the existing plan, and of course any of the advocates of the plan are welcome on this program anytime.
Ken Boyd is going to be on the Rob Schilling Show on Thursday, counter to Richard Lloyd, who is pro-dredging, and Ken Boyd, who is pro dam. So that should be interesting. I think it's at noon. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I apologize if I harp on it, but that's only because that's my particular interest. I sort of get confused and lost in all the numbers and the pumping and this and dredging and I really have trouble following all the specifics, even though I've been reporting on this for years. What really fascinates me and interests me are the politics of it.
Right.
And the motivations and who's arguing for what plan. And that's why I'm always sort of instantly drawn to that aspect of this debate.
Right. And as people say, you know, follow the money. It's there's some big money behind.
Well, what's your take? I mean, don't speak for Ken Boyd, but why do you think folks like Ken Boyd in the county, who are very smart conservatives, who care very deeply and sincerely about this community, why do you think they would be arguing for this position?
Well, I can only guess why Ken Boyd is. He's certainly likely to know a lot of the developers who I don't quite even understand why the developers would be that pro plan, because I think the connection fees are going to go up through the ceiling. But there's a lot of development money in the county water system. But there's also the Nature Conservancy on the other side, and they are very much behind this plan, and that's another whole big money group in the county. One of the real crimes here, in my view, is that this is not being paid for by everybody. This is only being paid for by ratepayers, and that's only half the county.
Yeah.
Most
of the ratepayers are in the city, and they're going to be paying to create infrastructure so the county can grow. That's what's
happening.
Right,
and they're disproportionately poor. The city and the urban.
25% of those ratepayers are, live in poverty. Let's go back to the phones. Another Ron is with us. Ron, really quick, buddy, go right ahead.
Well, as I understand it, the majority of growth is supposed to be north of the Ravana River. And we're going to build a reservoir south of town, run a pipeline south of town to pump water north.
Right.
Why aren't we enlarging the present reservoir and take that into account along with dredging?
What a great I never thought about that, but that's a fantastic insight that we have an existing major reservoir in the north part of town. But the existing plan calls to basically kill that and put the water south of town.
Right. You know, I had an idea at one point that we should be talking with Luck Stone about the Shadwell Quarry. because it can hold 3 billion gallons of water. It's still being mined, but it's not going to be mined forever. And that's in a growth area in the county and is right next to the Ravana River. So, I think there are other interesting ideas, and we should be thinking about where we need the water and, thinking along those lines.
Yeah, but everybody, let's just, before we break here for CBS, I just want to reiterate the fact that I think everyone engaged in this cares about this community. Yeah. I don't think there's any conspiracies. I don't think there's any evil intentions. I think everybody really cares, and everybody is committed to trying to figure out a plan that's going to work here for everybody. And very sensible, honest, smart people can disagree on this. Yeah. Dee Dee Smith is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Thank you, Dee Dee, for being here. Thanks for the
update.
Thanks
so much, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.